Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Glamour Magazine's first ever podcast, Hey, It's Okay. My name is Jo Elvin. I'm the editor-in-chief of Glamour. And every week, we're going to be letting you into the features meeting, not something that happens very often because they can get a bit out of hand, but that's kind of what we're hoping for. We're going to be talking about all sorts of topics, the sort of stuff that we talk about in the office, really. So let me introduce some of the Glamour team that you'll be meeting this week. Every week we'll have different guests from the Glamour staff who will be sharing all their wisdom with you. This week we have our fabulous deputy features editor, Lisa Harvey.
Hi.
And our social media editor, Kat Brown.
Hello.
Hello, hello, ladies. And every week we will be hosting a fabulous celebrity guest. And this week, first off the mark, Emma Willis.
Hello.
TV presenter extraordinaire.
And a guinea pig, by the sounds of it.
Well, my first question to you is, will you be firing your agent after he's had you sort of standing in a cupboard for half an hour? I have to tell you, Glamour is an ironic term at Glamour. We are literally, everybody, standing in a cupboard in the back of the office of our stablemates, Wired magazine. So this is how glamorous things really are at Glamour. How are you feeling right now?
I feel like the height of glamour. I must admit, I feel like I'm slightly in my loft at home.
The Voice.
Yes.
You started filming The Voice or about
to? We start in about 3 weeks.
Do you know who the judges are?
I know Will is back, definitely. And I haven't heard. Do you know, it's really weird because it's changed hands. It's gone, obviously, from The Beeb to ITV.
Oh, yes.
And it's a whole new team who I don't really know very well. So I'm like the new kid on the block again, even though it's, what, like my fourth series, I think? Yeah, year number four for me.
So basically your show.
Well, it's Will's show. He's been there a little bit longer. But Will's definitely there, and we're kind of still waiting. I don't know. I'm a bit like, is Ricky coming back? What's going to happen? Are we going to see Kylie return? You know, all these like people you have in your head that are like, oh, that'd be amazing.
You're in such an interesting position as well, because I can't think of any really major show that's jumped from like the BBC to another network in that sort of way. How does it feel?
Yeah, it feels scary because I felt very safe at the BBC. They'd kept me, and I feel like I'm on trial again. Do you know what I mean? But in a kind of nice way, they've been very welcoming, but it's I feel like I'm starting again because I haven't got Marv with me either this year as well.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I'm on my own. I'm kind of front and center, and if I mess up, I've got no one to save me.
Everyone said, "Well, we don't need him. Let's just have her." It is your show.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Oh, no, I'm kidding.
I'll run out the door. No, I don't want it. No.
You just have to start practicing how to say, and now here's an ad break. And
that's the big
difference, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And normally I would have to say, it's Marv in the V room, but now it's, we'll see you after the break. Yeah.
Oh.
So I think, you know, that there's a... It will be really weird not to be with him. But as I said, Will's kind of there. So I feel like there's some familiarity and, you know, at least it's kind of not a whole fresh panel and just me from before. So it's quite nice.
Well, I'm really excited to see who they're going to get, actually. Who do we want? Who do we want to start campaigning?
It feels amazingly like they've had they've just had the most fantastic tick list of people that you'd want to see on The Voice.
They
so
always
far.
Pick yeah. brilliant really people, great. You know,
and
from
really
the original.
Well,
yes. Yeah, yeah. Good. That's kind of a given, I think. You yeah. have to, especially when there's three men. Yeah. You have to have a woman that can hold her own.
I do adore Paloma, actually. I think she's very, very outspoken. Yeah.
She was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Jessie was amazing when she was on it. Rita was brilliant. And Kylie. So, you know, it's... I'm really interested to see who they're going to take either back or to fill that spot. You never know.
Oh, I can't wait. And there was a rumour that Tom Jones was coming back.
There was.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know.
I think she does know.
That would almost make up for Lily going back to X Factor. Yeah.
Could you imagine? I know.
I would say that would genuinely make up for the return of Louis to X Factor. Having Tom back.
Why are you gutted about that?
I can't stand Louis. He's awful. Sorry, Louis fans.
This is a very honest podcast.
I do love Tom.
It's
fab.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Louis. My daughter does a really good impression of him. I'll enjoy that. But yeah.
He's going to have to start thinking of some new kind of commentary. Back
you remind me of a young...
You're young, you're fun, you're going to go all the way.
That was good. That was really good. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. But it has to obviously be a strong woman that can take on those three blokes.
And who is your favourite kind of export from The Voice?
Contestant or coach?
Yeah, contestant.
Stevie McCrory, I loved. He was the Scottish guy that won a couple of years ago. I'm a big fan of like a dirty rock voice.
Becky Hill, isn't it? She was on The Voice.
Yeah.
She like now has...
And I think that's the thing with The Voice is everybody is so... kind of likes to knock it because there's never been a successful winner, there's never been this, there's never been that, but it's not an automatic platform. It's not, you know, you don't have a powerhouse like Simon Cowell who can give you everything like you get on X Factor. So this one is it's a platform, and you have to build like so many other musicians do, and you have to go out there and you've got to put the work in and you've got to put the hours in and you've got to slog because there are so many other people that are waiting to do that. And so now Becky Hill from 6-7 years ago is coming through and doing fantastically well, so you can only hope that all those other people that have been brilliant will also do the same thing in time.
I think the thing that I couldn't remember the name of my favourite contestant then, so it's almost as if the entire theme of the show and it focusing on The Voice, like, I can remember The Voice absolutely vividly. These gorgeous witch-like voices, beautiful folk, and just some absolutely staggering operatic voices as well.
Yeah, and it's a wide range. Cody from this year, I don't know if you remember her. She was George took her, and she was kind of like the punk girl. She was quite young, and she had such a haunting voice. And she would take things like "Brick in the Wall" by Pink Floyd and just make them her own. She was absolutely amazing. So to see people like that as well, that you wouldn't necessarily assume that you would see on a talent show, is quite nice, I think, because it caters for everybody.
We want to talk about Justin Bieber today, Emma. How are you feeling about that?
I've kind of had a bit of a up and down relationship with Bieber.
Have you?
Yeah, because
I didn't know that.
Yeah. he doesn't know it either.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's just like when I'm cross with someone and there's a lot of people out there who I'm not talking to and they don't know I'm not talking to. It's like that.
It's just happening in your own little world, isn't it? Yeah. That happens to me a lot as well. So Bieber, I found him infuriating when he was younger, and his hair annoyed me, and he annoyed me, and his songs annoyed me, and he seemed like a bit of a brat, and I just didn't get it really. Although every 12-year-old child seemed to, which is fair enough, I suppose.
Well, I guess, you know, when I was a kid, I'm trying to think. It's like, well, when I worked in teen pop magazines, everybody fancied Mark Owen, and little girls always fancy the little boy who looks the most like a little girl. And there was a point when he was...
You know
was
what? That's funny, because Bros were mine, and they were very kind of feminine looking, weren't
totally,
they?
Totally, yeah.
Very pretty, really boys.
Inoffensive, pretty, safe. But I mean, I don't think Bieber's that safe, actually.
No, he's not. But he hasn't exactly had like a normal like childhood as well, has he? He's been famous ever since he
was
like...
No, I mean, found really young on social media and then catapulted into this humongous brand all around the world. Exactly. But then he kind of did a U-turn for me.
He did.
And I was just... That whole Orlando Bloom thing in Ibiza, you know, one minute I'm like, go Bloom, and the next I'm like, oh, but he's brought out some really good new music, so I don't quite know how I feel.
Like, it's over the last couple of years, definitely. It's like the whole, you know, never thought I'd be a Belieber. And thanks to like a few good run of his songs, like, I never, ever thought I would even have him on my playlist, but he has been. Mm. But then, yeah, he'll go and do something completely douchey and we'll all... You know,
I'm just thinking about Orlando Bloom's Willie now. It doesn't take much for me to stop thinking
gone
about
are the days
Justin Bieber.
Thinking of him in
what was that about? Sorry, I know that's not the topic,
let's
but
just definitely veer off to this. Yeah. Do we believe it? Was it Photoshop?
What is the latest with it? What's the kind of why did it happen? How did it happen?
Why did he do it since then? No. I don't know. Maybe there's a big role that demands a big presence that. I don't know.
Why was he stalkers and she wasn't?
I don't know. It was the most bizarre photo, definitely.
And how was there a pap there? It's kind of like the Taylor Swift, Tom Hiddleston thing as well, like in the sea and the T-shirt and this, you know.
Has Matt not got an I Heart EW T-shirt?
It's tattooed, branded on him, Joe. It's been a long time.
Yeah, the magic is still there.
It's still there.
Three kids, of course, the magic is still there.
Oh, it better be. So Bieber released new music and everyone kind of went, he is cool, but also he started to laugh at himself. Mm. Or he looked like he was laughing at himself.
Well, I very much loved the roast.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
He did the roast and then he did Carpool Karaoke with James Corden. And it was almost like Bieber has grown up and started to laugh at himself.
I think, though, when you hear about him standing on stage whinging about how tired he is and how hungover and sort of like giving a, you know, a really half-assed performance, let's be honest, that we sort of like talked about at Glamour.com earlier this week, it's that sense of entitlement.
Absolutely.
That I can't bear this sense of, we get it. We know that. And I mean, I'm sure you know as well that being a celebrity, there are difficulties with that. Absolutely. But it's not a bad life, is it? Ultimately, you can't get up.
It's
in front
not
of,
a bad bank balance
no,
either, is
you
it?
You can't get up in front of people who've probably spent a good part of their month's salary to be there and see you and moan about being there.
And it also comes after, I guess, like the whole news headlines recently of him and the social media, kind of him coming off social media. And then.
And didn't he replace himself with a cardboard cutout in meet and greets?
Did anyone notice?
Did anyone care?
But it's just things like that.
So he's onto something there.
I just find like baffling because they will charge a fortune to meet Justin Bieber. And
I'd never heard of this
what?
Until him.
I just have no time to do it. Mm. And you kind of, like in my head, I go, I've watched premieres in Leicester Square with Tom Cruise and Will Smith and these global megastars that spend hours and hours and they're happy to meet you and they do their job and they're utterly professional because they are being paid. Mm. Not that they're not nice people as well, but they get paid an extortionate amount of money because they know what their job is and they're very good at it. And they understand that, you know, things have to go hand in hand because they're professionals.
And I think this is why, with all the ups and downs this year, I've got nothing but the utmost respect for Taylor Swift because I've seen her. I've seen if you're her fan and you're in front of her, then to her in that moment, you're the only person who exists. Now, she's probably done that 50 times in an hour, but she makes sure that every one of those 50 people feels like it was all about them.
Yeah.
And you've got to respect that, I think.
Absolutely.
But I think Justin is the real embodiment of my theory that you... The age you become famous is the age you kind of stay, I think, for a lot of these people. So, like, you know, he was a little boy when he became famous, and so he's still ultimately...
Mm. We're yet to see almost, him become a,
yeah,
a man.
He hasn't developed beyond that mental age, is my theory, lawyers.
It could be, because as you say, he kind of got given everything on a plate at a certain age, and since then has continued to get everything on a plate.
Mm.
You know, so maybe you do mentally stay that age. Matt's a little bit like that. He's from the age, not in quite the same way, but since the age of 19, he's kind of had people do everything for him for a few years, and now he lives with me and expects me to do it.
is that weird? Because I hear people being interviewed about, you know, particularly musicians, they go away and they're on tour for sometimes a year or so at a time and everything's done for them, and then when they get back and someone expects them to do the hoovering, they're just like, you what?
I think it's just you get used to what you're living at that time, don't you? When he's at home, he's brilliant and he's on the ball and he's always there and he knows what to do and he does it. But if he goes away for a month and then he comes back. He's still in the, I've been in LA for a month with the boys, living in a boy's house.
Yeah.
And even though he has to look after the boys because he's a sensible dad of all of them, he still kind of gets back and forgets that there is a lot that needs to be done. Well, but after a couple of days of shouting, he's normally
Justin,
back on
his,
track.
His or yours.
Yeah. Maybe when Justin has...
Low-level violence.
Well, maybe when Justin has a baby, maybe it will like...
Oh, please, God.
Do we need any more?
I mean, you know, the
baby Biebers.
The authorities wouldn't even trust him with that monkey he stole, so no.
Or just find the right woman, maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, God. Pray for Justin's woman, everybody. On that note.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We want to talk about something we talk about a lot at Glamour. Food guilt. Is it okay to say the big middle finger up, the big F you to food guilt? And what I'm talking about is that presumed food guilt that people presume on behalf of we women in particular. So, you know, your yogurt is guilt free. Your chocolate bar is sort of low calorie.
Or you have to go up a llama, like up a hill wearing a llama or bonnet or dancing or something to get over it.
It's that thing where I've never seen what you see on television where, you know, a group of four of us women sit around, one of you goes to the loo or to get a drink, and the rest of us go, what's her secret? And then she comes back with a yogurt and goes, I'll tell you, ladies. And it's, you know, and it's kind of, it's rice pudding flavor. So it's just the same as having a triple layer cheesecake. It's like, what the hell is this?
I get this quite a lot because I'm 6 foot one and I am a size 14 and therefore not a model. And in a lot of places, this sort of body shape is not supposed to exist. We are pressured as women to think about food in a way that men just aren't. Men are just allowed to get on with it, go and do a triathlon and crack on. That's a real shame.
It is a real shame. I think you do. I've been doing it recently because I'm trying to be good, and
as opposed to being bad.
Well,
that's what
because,
I mean.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I've just had a baby, and every time I have a baby, I am like fuck you to feel food guilt all the time because you just want to be you and get back to normal and eat as much as you want and just feel like a normal human being.
And I don't know, it's probably just too personal, but when you're breastfeeding, you're bloody hungry.
Absolutely.
Sorry,
I'm just purely running around after kids. Yeah. You are absolutely starving anyway. So recently I've been trying to be good and I've been training and I've been going, I'm just not going to eat sugar. I'm not going to eat sugar. And then all of a sudden Matt made some cookies the other day and I was like, fuck you. I'm having cookies. I'd been sugar free for 2 weeks and I thought, this is absolutely ridiculous. If I'm looking after myself, then why the hell am I being sugar free? Because I should just be able to have what I want and not care about what is kind of, you know, what other people think and what is put into our heads. And so I had two cookies and then had a bloody ice cream as well, just because I thought there is no point in going soft, either go hard or go home. So
totally.
I went hard.
But that's what, you know, I found on Twitter one day, it's just a friend and I ended up chatting on Twitter sometimes, as you do, and we're talking about how we were going to meet for a lasagna at this place. We both love the lasagna. It's just unbelievable. You know, it's like, it's to die for, as they say.
I need the name of this place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Baker's. Baker and Spice on Elizabeth Street. And this personal trainer who I sort of like vaguely know but don't really know sort of weighed in and went, "Remember, girls, a lifetime on the lips." You know, no, what is it? A moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. And I was like, here, you know, I will decide what I'm eating if that's all right. You know, it's just this assumed thing that everything that we put into our mouths is about our figure, or I don't know.
All the feelings that we're going to get from it. I do think that as women, we are genetically programmed to have a more emotional involvement with food and to get more. And women will often, like, comfort eat more than men. But at the same time, you know, if you want to have a donut or you want to have a biscuit, you know you're having a donut, you know you're having a biscuit. You don't need somebody to go to basically guilt trip you about it, or
totally,
for you to feel guilty about it.
You know, you just can't stress, and you can't let other people pressure you, or peer pressure, or ads in magazines, or ads on the TV or newspapers or wherever it is, or blokes in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like,
or just talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I think people who come to work at Glamour tell me that it is unique in that, you know, if a box of Krispy Kremes arrives, as it does quite often, thank you very much, Krispy Kreme, keep them coming. You know, on other magazines, the women will sit around and go, Oh, I don't know. I mean, I had a sandwich for lunch. I don't know.
And those carbs.
Yeah. I mean, by the time, I don't know, sometimes I see the box come in and think, oh my God, I'm going to have one of those about 4 o'clock. And so I walk out half an hour later at 4 o'clock and they're all gone. There's just none of that kind of fretting about it. I think that we're very much, and that's the way we approach what we do in the magazine, is sort of like this 80-20. If you're healthy, and if you're sort of like looking after yourself from a nutritious point of view, have a bloody donut.
I've seen some places where the approach of a box of Krispy Kreme would sort of be the scene that you get is almost like seeing a load of lionesses sort of circling a carcass and going up and sniffing it, but going, oh, I can't. Oh, my God, it's so good. But no, I can't. It's evil. It's not evil. It's a flipping donut.
Yeah. Mm.
If you want one, have one, or share one, or cut one in quarters or something like that. But it's not the end of the world that it is just here. It doesn't represent anything inherently bad. It's just a thing, and you can take it or leave it.
I would say don't share one. Just have the whole thing.
No, I'm not on board with sharing. I think it's being one of four children. It's just not into it.
I know, the thing is, if you order something or you want something, it's because you order it and you want it. Oh. You don't want other fingers picking it
totally,
and taking it, and, you know, get your own.
I am totally on board with that.
And that is the Glamour Krispy Kreme Code of Conduct.
Yes.
Everybody.
Next up, I want to talk about phone guilt and say, hey, it's okay to be obsessed with my phone. Let's debate this. I thought about this because I was on holiday last week. I had a brilliant time in Miami and Orlando with my husband and my daughter. And I would say most nights at dinner, we would sit there and we would chat, the three of us, but we all sat there with our phones on our table. And every now and again, I'd check Instagram, keen to see how many people liked another one of my nauseating beach shots, you know, all that sort of thing. She was checking what her friends were doing, and then we'd have a bit more chat, and I could see people around the restaurant sort of like actively judging us.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to stand up and go, I have been at the beach all day with no Wi-Fi. Do not oppress me. You know, I really love my phone, and I'm sick of it being sort of like this kind of like moral outrage about, I can't help it, it's my job.
Our phones have become more and more our lives recently. I mean, my friends take the piss out of me so many times by, I lose my phone like 20 times a day and I think the world's ended. And I've already had my phone stolen and broken this year, and I've had to go through that period of when you literally don't have a phone for a few days.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And
are you
like,
okay?
Well, you first off, you're like, this is really liberating. Oh my God, I'm going to have a proper digital detox. And then after like 48 hours, it's like, oh my God, what's going on, what's happening out there? And you just kind of, it's that sense of like going back to being connected and, you know, that not missing out on anything. And it can be quite I guess, a bit depressing sometimes, the fact that we are constantly checking our phones. But I just think they've become so much part of our lives now, and, you know, we should be proud to have our phones.
I think it
sort our lives out.
What you're doing on it, though.
I think Emma's disagreeing with us.
No. Yeah. Do you know what? I'm really bad, actually, because I say to my husband all the time, like, put your phone away. Why are you on it again? What are you looking at? Because he's constantly on it at home. But if it's work or he's doing something, like, I get it. But if you're just on Amazon
ordering
some more protein powder, get off it. Your family are in the room. Do you
There's
know what
a lot
I mean?
To be said for Pokemon.
Sorry, Kat.
But we try to do this thing, or I try to do this thing, where after work hours, so after like 6 or 7 o'clock, no phones unless it's a work email, and then you can do it. But I like to check Instagram and Twitter before bed, so it kind of bit me in the bum and didn't really work.
Isn't it? Your publicist is standing around here and he's shaking his head furiously at you.
Why?
Never on email if it's a work thing.
I am. I just don't reply. But it kind of bit me in the bum because he said there was a ban and you're in bed literally about to go to sleep and you're checking. I'm like, yeah, but it just makes me unwind and switch off.
Oh my God, no.
If I just check.
But I think you know, we've done a lot of features like this on, you know, you should leave your phone, you know, out of your bedroom before you go to bed. But I think you've got to do whatever works for you beforehand.
Totally.
So like for some people, the thought of their phone being downstairs and, oh my God, am I going to wake up? You know, is my alarm clock working? Like that will send like some sort of anxiety in them, where if they have their phone near them, I don't know, maybe it's a sense of comfort in a really twisted kind of
I can't
modern
sleep
day
if
way.
My phone's near me. I have to about 10 if you want to email me, do it before about 10:30, okay. because I'm not looking at my phone then until 7 o'clock the next day.
Yeah.
I can't bear it because I get trapped in this cycle of seeing something really great that somebody's doing on Facebook that makes me a bit jealous or a bit competitive if it's like a really good other magazine cover or something like that, and I go to bed feeling this like knot in my stomach and I can't work out what it is, and it's
how
usually,
can I beat them, how can I beat them.
No, it's not even that. I just sort of like I'm in a bad mood and I can't put my finger on why. And then I think
your mind's racing.
Oh, I know why, because half an hour I saw that, you know, someone was invited to some dinner that I wasn't invited to or something like that. So I don't think I'm an idiot with it, but I just feel like if I want to sit at a restaurant and read my phone for 10 minutes, shut up. You know,
absolutely. You know, it is each to their own, isn't it?
Yeah.
We kind of went from trying to ban it in the evenings to we said, right, we'll just do it at mealtimes. So at mealtimes, if we're out and someone gets their phone out, they pay.
I think it also depends
on
what you're.
Wouldn't
we all? I think it also depends on what you're using your phone for. Because something, now that I'm a professional social media editor, I'll never be able to do again, is I gave up Twitter for Lent once. 40 days and 40 nights without Twitter, which basically meant 40 days and 40 nights without breaking news. I heard about that. The Oscar Pistorius's arrest 4 hours after Twitter did, because I had to wait for a breaking news email. I just think so much of the world has changed in the way that we communicate with each other, the way that we hear about things, and it's really good to sort of to take a break, but only if it's something that you actually want to do. If it sort of fits into your day. I mean, we heard those dreaded words, digital detox, earlier.
Well,
I don't think detox ever came.
No,
there was nothing good ever came from the word detox.
I do want to come back to that slightly and just put out the community service message that anyone thinking of pitching ideas to Glamour about their personal digital detox, just please don't. I swear to you, it's the 1 millionth time I've heard that idea.
And that's the whole.
And I'm not interested in it in the nicest possible way.
Go away.
We know it's we know it can be healing and cleansing, but there's nothing new to say on digital detoxing.
And in a world when we're so reliant on technology now anyway, I definitely.
But everything though, whether it's social media, whether it's checking Twitter, whether it's checking your work emails, whether it's streaming a movie for your kids because you're in the middle of. We went to Cornwall recently, no Wi-Fi.
I was going to say, how did you stream anything down there?
Exactly, no, nothing. And I just didn't expect it. I'm like, well, we're in Cornwall. Surely it's not going to be literally not a thing. So Googling a restaurant to go and eat, couldn't do it. So we're just stuck in a house, not knowing where to go, what to do. And like you say,
it was a living nightmare.
It's become your life, hasn't it? It's not just work emails
and
taking
a
picture.
It's not always a self-indulgent thing to just be on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. It is this whole wider, like Kat said, the connection to what's going on out in the world and just, you know, keeping up to date with that.
The one difference, which is something that Jo was ranting about quite rightly earlier, is when people don't connect with the outside world. And then I'm talking about people, and I've been totally guilty of this on many occasions, walking along the street, normally Oxford Street, which is incredibly busy, staring at their phones and bumping into everybody as they pass.
Yeah.
We need to find a way around that.
Yeah. We need to make that illegal. Yeah. Or, you know, something like the death penalty or something. I can't bear it.
Definitely an etiquette to have with your phone, though. I agree.
People who think you can walk and look at your phone, you can't. In fact, I remember tweeting about this and you saying on Twitter, oh my god, I've just been doing that.
I know,
we are not phone buddies.
I know, but you kind of you find yourself doing it, don't you? And it does infuriate me when people are walking down the road like this. I'm like, you know, they would have literally just walked into me because they're not looking, and then all of a sudden I catch myself doing it. I'm like, I'm the worst human being in the world because I judge people who do this, and now it's me.
I cannot walk and use my phone. I know I can't do that. I was walking behind this woman on Bond Street, stuck behind her, sort of like head buried in her phone. And this woman, like about 10 yards in front of her, I didn't even realize they were together, turned around and went, Helen, put your phone down and walk. And I was like, oh, Helen's mate, you are my new hero. It was like, I was so glad. It's not just me. It's not just me.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. Restaurants, yes. Walking down the street, no.
So I think we're getting that I have a very confused relationship with my phone, but just let me use it when I want to, all right? All right?
No detox.
Detox free. Thank you very much for coming in today, Emma Willis.
Thank you, Jo. I love your cupboard.
I think what I would say is we definitely all at least lost a stone.
Yeah. I know, it's really warm.
Yeah, it's
Bikram?
We're not sweating because we're ladies. We're glowing.
And we could power several light bulbs with our ladylike glow.
Yes, but want to wish you all the best with The Voice.
Thank you very much.
Keep on the lookout for that new Justin Bieber. Give him a clip round the ears.
Yeah, right. And,
yeah.
What's he going to come up with next?
That's it for the first Glamour podcast of Hey, It's Okay. Hope you enjoyed it. I think Emma did, although she's gone for a nice long cool shower now. It is hot in the podcast booth. Lots more hot topics next time. Thank you for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.